again, everybody, and welcome to BitNote. It's David Collins here, and we'll be talking about video game music and the games they're from, but maybe a bit different this episode. Hope you enjoy. So, if you've been following the show for a while, you should know that I have a number of self-imposed rules for how this show goes. And also, if you've been following the show for a while, I usually tend to break these rules on a semi-regular occasion. In this case, one of the rules I'm playing is to actually play music from video games. But as with most of my, which I won't be doing, but as with most of my rule breaking, I've come up with some great big convoluted exception that explains why it's okay in this circumstance. In this case, I'm playing music that's not so much from video games, but music that wouldn't have actually been brought into existence if it hadn't been for video games. So what I'm basically doing is playing Sonic music that you don't get in Sonic games. Okay, why Sonic? Well, because I like Sonic, and maybe another show I'll just do more general stuff. But the fact of the matter is, Sonic has always been known for its music. I did a show a while back at the Sonic Generations released explaining, doing a bit of a tour of all the music in Sonic games. And the fact is, Sonic the Hedgehog series, since he bounced onto the scene in 1991, has been in a large variety of video games that all tend to have great music. No matter how low the actual games themselves come in terms of being fun or gameplay, the music's always stayed good. But Sonic's done a lot more than that, and has gone into various different media and led to the creation of a lot of different music tracks, and I think this show I'll be playing some of my favourite ones. So what sort of tracks are there? Well, one of the most direct ways, of course, is that Sonic is actually starred in a couple of cartoon series. Despite the fact that Sonic was originally released just as a video game character, and there wasn't really that much thought to whole multimedia enterprise, but he ended up becoming, you know, as a fun cartoon character, he ended up being in a couple of cartoon series. Now, for reasons that I still don't get to this day, in the early 90s, they ended up creating two completely different cartoons based on Sonic the Hedgehog. One of them was Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, which was bright, colourful, cartoony, and almost, some people said, like Looney Tunes, Warner Brothers, only with Sonic the Hedgehog, as Sonic would go across the planet of Mobius, helping the various citizens and avoiding the traps that are usually laid by Dr. Robotnik's incompetent henchmen. And but then there was another one. This one wasn't called Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. This was just called Sonic the Hedgehog. As you can see, it was very confusing, and in fact, on online fan communities, they came up with the name SatAM, because in America, the cartoon played on Saturday mornings, so SatAM. And, of course, just in America. I mean, the first time I ever saw a SatAM comic cartoon, it was actually on Sunday morning, but let's not get into that right now. The reason I'm... SatAM is actually official is because, despite being a fan-originated term, it's pretty much been adapted officially or semi-officially, because I've actually gone into toy shops and seen a couple of Sonic the Hedgehog DVDs, and of course, you know, wasn't sure which one it was, but then in the corner there in a nice star it said SatAM. They literally have used that term on DVDs, and that's kind of pretty impressive for a term that just originated in internet subcommunities. But I digress by a quite large margin, as is extremely characteristic for me. Instead, why don't I actually play music from one of them? Now, SatAM was a little darker, a little more dramatic. It basically, instead of just having Sonic and Tails go on adventures around Mobius, this was more about, Sonic was a band of freedom fighters that were in Knothole Village in the Great Forest. And meanwhile, Robotnik had this great big polluted grey city called Robotropolis, where he wanted to conquer all of Mobius, or pretty much had. So Sonic was really leading a rebellion against that, you know, kind of against all this industrialization and Robotnik's things, and it had a pretty damn kick-ass theme tune. Not that Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog didn't have a good theme tune, but why don't I just play it? This is Fastest Thing Alive from Sonic the Hedgehog, aka SatAM cartoon series.
Sonic the Hedgehog, too fast for the naked eye. Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic, he can really move. Sonic, he's got an attitude. Sonic, he's the fastest thing alive. Look out when he storms through. Sonic the Hedgehog, can do.
can really move. Sonic, he's got an attitude. Sonic, he's the fastest thing alive. He's the fastest thing alive. He's the fastest thing alive.
Ah, yet another kick-ass cartoon theme. You know, I could go on and on about cartoon themes, but let me just say, I think a lot of good cartoons have good cartoon themes, and I always try to play a game whether how good quality the cartoon is by looking at the theme. But enough of that. That was Fastest Thing Alive. It was credited as being by the Noisy Neighbors, although doing some research, it seems that Michael Tavera may have had been involved someplace because he did most of the music for the series. And as you can see, it was pretty kick-ass, and it was played around this background of Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, breaking into Robotropolis with his band of freedom fighters and them sabotaging a gigantic dam, which apparently was holding back river water. So when the dam burst, it restored water back to the forest river, you know, something like that. The whole movie had a bit of theme to, had a kind of like eco theme to it. In fact, you could almost consider the whole freedom fighters just a band of eco terrorists. But considering that all they did is go into Robotropolis and sabotage factories and stuff. But in all fairness, Robotnik was turning people into robots, like literally. He had this thing called roboticization, and he was just imprisoning everyone and just trying to completely destroy. And one of the earliest things he tries to do is destroy an entire forest. So it's not like they're heading to, it's not like they're just heading towards some, you know, they're going up against some serious force here. And honestly, Robotnik with his voice, I think by Jim Cummings, definitely a whole threatening. They had the whole, the show was so atmospheric and quite a bit of fun. But that wasn't the only sort of source of music around that era, because in, that was a cartoon series called called Sonic the Hedgehog. But in around 1996, an album called Sonic the Hedgehog was released. If you notice now, I think that they tend to use Sonic the Hedgehog a little too much. I mean, there's literally, I looked into it. There's like two games that use Sonic the Hedgehog. The first Sonic the Hedgehog, of course. And then there was a reboot. Now they've got an album. Now they've got a TV series. So you can see why the cartoon series got the name Sat.am. But regardless. So, in 1996, an album was released, and it ended up doing a bit of remixes and a couple of different things by various Sonic the Hedgehog's music tracks and everything, but it also became somewhat infamous for some of the tracks. Now, I've got a decision here. Do I play Sonic Electronic or They Call Me Sonic? Because both of them, it's not a case that I don't know which one is better. Because that's not the question you ask with these songs. The question is, which one do you inflict upon the ears of the casual listeners? They're yes, yes. I'm going to go with They Call Me Sonic, and prepare yourself. But if you do want to look up Sonic Electronic, it's pretty easy. It's kind of like a nice beat to it, and it would make a rather excellent ringtone on your phone. But on to that. Here's They Call Me Sonic.
They call me Sonic, 'cause I'm faster than sound. I keep on jumping around. Blue Hedgehog Sonic, with incredible speed, I'm moving my feet. We'll be right back.
That was They Call Me Sonic by Oscar Oberheim and Andrea Husak from Sonic the Hedgehog, the 1996 album. Why did I play that? You can see why the album's a little more infamous. It doesn't get much better than that. In fact, I think that that was technically the title track of the album. Now, in a way, if you're in a dance club and, you know, you're it's kind of late at night and you're energetic, some of these songs and tracks on this album would actually work pretty well. But as long as they trying to do something different. And I actually one time joked with a friend of mine about playing Sonic Electronic over the radio, but I think I'll at least save that for another day. But yes, as you can see, that Sonic the Hedgehog was popular enough that people created entire albums based off Sonic, that a lot of it wasn't with original songs at the very least. So it's kind of part of Sonic's legacy. I mean, Sonic's actually always been fairly musical. One of his earliest appearances was actually at a concert for a Japanese band, Dreams Come True. They ended up doing music for a lot of the Sonic games, so that's where the association came from. And of course, as things went on into the late 90s, I covered Sonic's earlier two cartoon series that were a lot of fun. He had a third one called Sonic Underground, where basically he ended up in a band and every episode he'd sing a different song. So, I mean, like, damn, I never actually really watched much of that series. It was kind of crazy. It was kind of a bit of fun when you just realize that it was completely unrelated to most of what you recall Sonic the Hedgehog to be, but such is the way that it happens. However, there was actually one thing that Sonic was. As you can see, the 90s were one of Sonic's stronger periods, although in the noughties he had a bit of a dip in the middle. But in the 90s, you'd think that Sonic the Hedgehog has basically two cartoons in the early 90s, one in the late 90s, but there was also something else, a movie. Well, it wasn't quite a movie. It was something that a Japanese company seemed to do. It was basically a two-episode pilot, from what I can gather. If you're familiar with a pilot, basically it's an episode. You know, they want to make a TV series. They're not sure, so they create one episode, see how it does, and if it does well, they make the entire series. If it doesn't, or some, you know, executive gets in the way or whatever, they don't. You're probably familiar with that if you know much about pilots, TV production, or have watched Pulp Fiction. But the point is, for some reason, a Japanese company tended to make two-episode pilots where basically it was just one long episode just broken into two episodes, you know, so about 55 minutes long. And Sonic the Hedgehog got this treatment. Now, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because I kind of liked it and it was interested in where it was going, the thing didn't actually go that far. It just stopped at the two episodes. And so we get the whole ep thing, but it just wasn't popular enough to really go. So it was actually a pretty nice story, actually. Basically, it was set in Planet Freedom rather than Mobius because Sega never really managed to get its world history down as to what the name of the freaking planet Sonic was on. So it's gone from everything from Planet Mobius, Planet Freedom, to Mobius, to Earth, to whatever. I mean, even a later TV series, Sonic X, which I'll get to in a second, didn't seem to had this whole thing about dimension hopping in order to try to make everything make sense. But long story short, too late, there was basically Sonic is basically on this planet and he's with Tails in their secret base, which seems to include stuff like UFOs and discarded jumbo jets and moon rockets and stuff. And Sonic's hanging out on the beach and suddenly he hears some guy screaming because apparently he's on a flying aircraft that's crashing. And Tails tries to go to help, but then Sonic's too busy listening to the radio. Then suddenly looks at what's happening and rescues them. Actually, that kind of inspired some of the stuff in Sonic Adventure. So long story short, it turns out that Robotnik has now come to Sonic and said, you need to help me. And Sonic is saying, why should I help you? And Tails goes, well, because, you know, 99 times out of 100, you're lying. So why should I help you? And Tails goes, well, what if this is that one time? And it turns out not to be that one time, but they don't actually find that out until later into the episode. It turns out there's Robotropolis. The whole city is about to blow up and kill Planet Freedom, but Sonic goes down to try to rescue it, and then in the end it turns out he ends up battling Metal Sonic, which is basically a robot that Robotnik built in order to challenge Sonic in every way. So Metal Sonic is kind of this fan favorite of the franchise. Now, the whole thing is, I like the kind of movie. It's obviously it comes to a conclusion, and then even Knuckles shows up, which is pretty cool, because it took a while before Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles all seemed to have equal staging. They always, in Sonic Underground, Knuckles came on the scene, but Tails wasn't on it, and then Sonic and Knuckles was introduced and Tails left. So it was kind of nice with the Sonic OVA for all three of them to be there. But long story short, and once again, I completely fail at trying to make that effort. Essentially, it's a nice, fun little tale. It's got action. It's got different environments. It's got them walking around what looks like a post-apocalyptic New York City at one stage. It's got lightning. It's got scares. It's got a princess cat girl for some reason. It's got some nice chase sequences. It's got that fluidity of animation, of speed and energy that a lot of anime, you know, Japanese animation seems to produce well. And it's got even a few laughs and some action and a bit of humor and everything. So all in all, I do like OVA, the Sonic the Hedgehog OVA, also called Sonic the Hedgehog the Movie. And once again, another thing that's just named Sonic the Hedgehog. And one of the nice ending tracks that pops up is a track called Look Alike. Now, if you actually listen to the track, the lyrics don't make a whole lot of sense, but, you know, why let that stop us? I'm just going to play the track now and hope you like it.
Like
And that was Lookalike from the movie Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie, although it was also an original video animation, hence why I've been using it OVA. And on top of that, it was actually composed by Michiro Tada with vocals by Riku Konaka. So, I don't know, I really like it. Some people say it's more the theme for Metal Sonic because it's, you know, Lookalike, and there's this whole theme about the duality of Sonic the Hedgehog and then this his metal counterpart who goes up against him. And like I said, it's a fun movie with a lot of action and a lot of other stuff. Which brings us to the last track and basically the last thing that I can thought of that Sonic the Hedgehog created that led to music being created. This is, of course, Sonic X. Now, to be honest, at the moment, the current running total is 4 Sonic the Hedgehog cartoons, 1 animated movie, and Sonic X being the last. But just to completely date, that just completely dates this show. There's actually news of a new Sonic the Hedgehog coming up in 2014, just to further date this episode and make it harder for other people in the future to know exactly when this episode was recorded. But for the moment, we've got 4, and when the 5th comes along, who knows what it'll be like. But for this 4th one, Sonic X, it was basically also made in Japan, like Sonic the Movie, but it wasn't as good in my subjective opinion, which I will now put in front of all of you, because what use is having a radio show if you can't tell your opinion to many, many people who may or may not care what your opinion actually is? It's one of the best ways of communicating, I think, as long as you're on the side of the mic. So speaking seriously for a second, Sonic X came and it did okay, and there was a lot of Sonic and there was a lot of other stuff, but there was also a lot of focus on a bunch of human characters, and some of the episodes wasn't written as well, and then a couple of episodes they were clearly like trying to like save the budget. I mean, there's one episode where Sonic's on a cruise liner and he spends nearly the entire episode not running. They actually even make a joke about it towards the end, how cheap the animation is practically, because Robotnik takes 2-3 gigantic robots, combines them together, only the act of them being combined is shown as 3 tiny dots on the horizon, because, you know, they're not actually showing this in any sort of detail. But I digress and I go into a whole lot of things. Look, Sonic X came up with a lot of great music. It was about Sonic and friends being transported into Earth. It kind of adapted Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2. It was, I suppose it was okay, although I never really watched through the whole thing, because I watched through like the first season and I kind of found it okay. And long story short, it had a lot of music themes. It kind of had the Gotta Go Fast theme, which was okay. It had which led to one of the themes of the Sonic community. It had the Sonic X repeatedly theme, which was the one we had over here in Ireland, and also it had a couple of other themes where if you actually watch the original Japanese version, and it's from the Japanese version that I think one of my favorite Sonic X tracks comes from. I'm about to play Hikaru Mishi, also called The Shining Road, which is by Aya Hiroshiga, and it's the second ending theme of the Japanese version of Sonic X. I like it. I think it's kind of touching. It kind of says something about Sonic and Amy, but that's a whole different story. But I just find it touching, atmospheric, and I really like it, and that's why I'm playing it on the show. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Follow us on BitNote FM on Twitter, and thank you for listening.
Kilo.